Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday. I'm your host, Lavina Polite, and we'll have Minister Arthur L. Weathersby opening up in prayer this evening, along with our special guest, Dr. Augustine Perez, also known as Apostle Perez. Minister Weathersby, there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Dan.
I'm doing very well this evening, sis. How you doing?
Well, I'm not doing too good. I'm not doing too good. I've been driving for like 3 hours now, and I'll probably have another 2 hours before I even get home. So not doing too good, but my cell phone works. So if the cell phone cuts out, I'll call back in. So, you know, I believe in my heart we'll still have a wonderful show. It's just with the roads and the storm that we had. And you know, Long Island got extremely bad, and the roads are terrible. Some of the major highways aren't even open yet. So, so I'm driving, but I'm doing pretty good.
Well, just be careful.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good.
Amen.
I'm
just
taking
take
my time.
Be careful.
You know, would you like to? Go ahead. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
All right. Would you like to open up in prayer for us this evening?
Sure, let's go.
All right, ready.
Father God, in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we come before you humbly at this time just to say thank you. Thank you for watching over and keeping us, dear God, throughout the day. Thank you for watching over and keeping us from the last week up until now. But Father God, before we go any further, we ask that you first forgive us of any and all sins that we may have committed on this day. Anything, dear God, that we've done that's been knowingly and unknowingly not pleasing within your sight, we're going to ask for forgiveness. Now, Lord, we're going to pray that you continue to be with us throughout this day, throughout this time, O Lord God, as we come forth to you in ministry, O Father God, GQ Palace Spiritual Sunday. We ask that you bless all that will participate, O Father God, from the special guests, O Father God, Apostle Perez, and our host who's in travel status, O Lord God. We pray that you be with her as she travels, O Lord God. Give her traveling mercies so that no harm or danger will come to her as she makes her way home, oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray that you be with the host, Father God, let me restate that, would be with the owner, oh, Lord God, Rich Money, Rich Archibald, oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, continue to keep him and to bless him, oh, Father God. Bless the vision, oh, Father God, as well as the visionary. We pray, dear God, that you bless all that are a part of GQ Palace, oh, Lord God, all those that are that take part in allowing this ministry to go forth, O Father God, in your name. Bless those that are hearing, O Father God, that call in and that take part, O Father God, who just listen in on the broadcast. We pray, dear God, that you incline your ear to hear whatever it is that they may have, O Father God, of importance that they need to share and bring forth to you, O Lord God. We just speak to that on their behalf at this time, O Father God, interceding on their behalf. Lifting up whatever prayers that may need to be lifted up on their behalf, O Father God, we offer them up to you. We pray, dear God, again that all things be done to your glory and to your honor on this day, for you truly are worthy of all the glory and honor and the praise, and we give it all to you. In the precious name of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I pray with thanksgiving in my heart. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. We do have our special guest on the line as well. I just want to welcome in Apostle Perez. Apostle Perez, welcome to GQ Palace.
Blessings. God bless you. God bless you. All is well. Thank God.
Yes. Amen. Would you like to tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Well, I am just a simple man that loves the Lord and loves God's people. I love souls. I've been preaching since the age of 14. I got saved and raised by my praying grandmother. My father is Jewish Puerto Rican. My mother's African American. I speak Spanish, English, and Hebrew. So I'm a mixture. As far as culture, I'm diverse. That's basically it. I love the Lord. I've been traveling the world. I've been doing the work of God as he leads me to do. And since very young, the Lord called me to be his prophet, to speak the mind of the Lord to his people. And that's what I've been doing ever since. And that's what basically I can say about myself.
Amen. Amen. Would you like to give your testimony or say what you're thankful for today?
Well, I'm thankful for a lot of things. I'm thankful, first of all, for my salvation. You know, a lot of people, we take that lightly, but I don't. I'm thankful that I was born into a Christian family, that taught me moral Christian values, and not just that, but also taught me how to fear God and how to seek God. I thank God for my grandmother, who left me an indelible spiritual legacy, an imprint, and marked my life as far as, you know, spiritual principles. She was a, she still is, because she's still living, a praying woman. So she left me that strong legacy. Thank God for her. She's 85 years old. Bless her heart.
Mm-hmm.
And my family, my wife, my kids, my children, my good friends, my close friends. I got very few of them, but the ones that I have are worth thousands. And
yes.
So I'm thankful for all of that.
Yes. Okay. Amen. I know we do have our first caller this evening, but before we go to the caller, I'd just like to go to a song, and then when we come back, we'll bring our first caller on this evening. Well, I thought we were going to go to a song, but...
Never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better. When I look back over all you brought me through, I can see that you were the one I held on to, and I never would have made it. Oh, I never could have made it.
Never could have made it without you.
Hey, I would have lost it all. Oh, Somebody just needs to testify to somebody next to them. Tell them, I'm stronger. I'm wiser. I'm better. Much better. When I look back over what he brought me through, I realize I made it because I had you to hold on to. Now I'm stronger. Now I'm wiser. I'm better. So much better. I made it. Is there anybody in this house other than me that could declare you made it? Tell your neighbor, never would have made it.
Never would have made it.
Tell them, never could have made it.
Never could have made it.
Oh, I wish I had some help here. I wish I had just two or three people that would just declare it. Never would have made it.
Never could have made it.
Never could have made it. I just love to encourage myself. Sometimes I just look in the mirror and say, I'm strong. I'm wise. I am better. So much better. When I look back over what he brought me through, I realize I made it because I had you to hold on to. But I never would have made it. I never could have made it without you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, good God Almighty, never would have made it.
Never would have made it.
Never could have made it.
Never could have made it without you.
Sing it one more time. All I need is just one more time. Everybody say with me.
Never would have made it.
Oh, oh,
oh. Never could have made it.
All right, that was Marvin Sapp, Never Could Have Made It. And you are tuned back into GQ Power Spiritual Sunday. Minister Weathers, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Apostle Perez, you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I'm not sure if you heard, but I am in traffic, but I'm on my way home. I've been driving for 3 hours so far, and I should say I'm nowhere near home. But technically, it should have been an hour trip, but it's taken me, it's about 2 hours, about 3 hours right about now, and I probably, with the traffic, got about 2 more hours to go, the way it looks. So I just want to inform everyone and just to let you guys know that, of course, the show will still go on. And I'm calling from my phone, but the switchboard operator, we're going to be patient, because of course it's not an easy job to be able to do the switchboard and the songs and everything as well. So I'm just asking everyone to be patient and please bear with us this Sunday. And with that being said, we're going to go to our first caller. Welcome to GQ Power Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please?
Martha Stevens.
Hi, Martha. How are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
I'd be doing better if I was home right now, but I'm doing pretty good.
That's good.
Would you like to say what you're thankful for, give your testimony this evening?
I do have a testimony. It's a life or death situation. I was at school. I first started from Facebook. I was just on Facebook, and out of the blue, this person that this person had messaged me on Facebook telling me, watch out, I'm going to kill you. And I said, okay, what did I do to you? Like, I didn't even do nothing to you. Do I know you? And I go to school on Monday. Nothing happened. Tuesday, I get out, and when I walk out to school, this person, I was going to the library to do some research on my studies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's standing like she was one of my friends, but she had a knife in her hand about to kill me. I said, I hope you know that I'm not scared of you. I hope you know I'm not scared of you. She said, what you mean you're not scared of me? I'm not supposed to scare you. I said, no, honey, I got Jesus on me. You don't scare me. It don't scare me. The knife in your hand does not scare me. She tried to stab me, and I said, see, look, you didn't scare me, did you? So, anyway, I go home, anything. I didn't go nowhere. I just went home. Wednesday, nothing happened. Thursday, three people tried to break in my house to kill me. I said, oh, hold up. What's going on today? What's going on? And I said, you know what, Jesus, you take it. I'm not doing no more. The battle is not mine. It's yours, God. You can do whatever you want with it. And when I opened up the door for some dumb reason to see how crazy I am, I'm dumb. We're just crazy. I said, hi, God bless you. How are you? You want to come into my house? They did not walk in there. They just started crying and fell to the floor. I said, what's wrong? Something wrong here? I go outside. I call my dad because my dad is a private investigator or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I got three people here with a knife in their hand trying to kill me, and I'm not about to get killed.
Okay.
And it was just, I thank God for saving my life, because if it wasn't for God, I would have been dead and gone today. So I thank God for just giving me life.
All right. That's a bit different. So we're gonna give you some words of encouragement based on your testimony. Apostle Perez, who is not that familiar with you, but myself and Minister Weathersby, we're pretty familiar with you, you know. In my words of encouragement that I'm going to say is, you have to pray like you have never prayed anymore. Like, you have to pray, you know. And when you give yourself, I mean, all of you, mind, body, and soul, He's going to protect you from everything that comes to you, you know. And because you're young, you know, I'm going to say because you're young, you know, I know that, you know, you have other testimonies as well, but because you're young, you have to be able to say, you know what, I have to separate something that's, you know, could eventually harm me and something that is going to help me, you know. And I can't tell you that somebody with a knife, holding a knife at me when I walk out of school, I'm going to say, you don't scare me. You know, me personally, covered, and He is my everything, okay? Me personally, I'm going to keep it moving, you know? I'm not going to have no discussion from you whatsoever, you know, and you have to make sure that you're extremely careful with Facebook. You have to make sure you're extremely careful with Facebook. That has millions and millions and millions of people on it, and if you don't know who these people are, and you could check by someone's statuses that they put on their Facebook. You go to your news feed. You get to see everybody and what they're putting on Facebook. And being a child of God, you have to separate yourself from that negativity, you know, because that's a lot of negativity going on there. And you have to be able to say, you know what, I give myself to you completely, wholeheartedly, you know, 100%. Don't give Him half, because He knows if you're not giving Him all of you. He knows if He's not getting that 100%. So you have to be very careful and mindful of your surroundings and mindful with Facebook. You know, Facebook is extremely, I'm going to keep saying it, and I say it to a lot of, you know, a lot of kids, you know, a lot of teenagers. Facebook is extremely large. And sometimes a lot of you younger teenagers, you guys aren't really ready for it, because a lot of stuff gets put on Facebook. you know, and for someone to just want to kill you and send you a message and stuff, that's a little crazy, you know. So you want to make sure that you are completely careful. And because you are younger, I'm going to tell you like my mom told me, don't you open that door for nobody whatsoever. You know, my mom used to tell me she got the key. If she want to get in, she'll use that key to get in. Don't open that door for nobody. So there's a couple things, you know, that you could have done differently. You know, I'm happy and I'm thankful that, you know, no harm was done to you. But it could have gotten a lot worse. You know, it could have gotten a lot worse. You know, and I'm going to say pray on it. I'm going to say pray on it. And that Bible should be with you all the time. If it's too big, get a small pocket one, you know, to keep with you at all times. Because you got a lot of devilish things going on around you. And you want to make sure that you are covered and that you're making, you know, decisions that are good for you and not eventually that's going to hurt you, you know. So I'm going to say pray on it. I'm going to say pray on it. I'm going to ask our spiritual leaders if you guys wouldn't mind giving words of encouragement to Martha as well. Hello?
Praise the Lord.
Apostle Perez, you there?
Yes, I'm here. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. If you wouldn't mind giving some words of encouragement to the caller.
First of all, I want to thank her for being so brave and sharing with us. Amen. That's the first key. I firmly believe that when we get ourselves either by choice, wrong decision, or by ignorance or whatever be the case, we get ourselves into certain predicaments or situations or conditions, it is imperative that we always seek godly counsel.
Right.
I always say one of the worst trickery of the enemy is to isolate us from godly counsel when we are in situations like this. And
yes.
So I'm thankful that she brought this out so we can address it with love and compassion and understanding.
Yes.
And, yes, we have to be very, extremely very careful, very careful. As a matter of fact, I learned not too long ago, I didn't know this, I learned that, for example, the social site like Facebook is linked to a data system by the CIA, the FBI, by law.
That's right.
So anything you write, anything you post, they start keeping a certain record of it. And that's why I've even changed certain vocabulary words, even when I post certain things, because I just learned recently that they turned into law, federal law, just to mention the word homosexual. If anybody gets offended by that, they can file charges against you for no reason. And it's categorized as a hate crime.
Yes,
so now the term to use is alternative lifestyle. You're basically
right.
Saying the thing, but you're implying more wisdom, and it's a way to get by. We got to learn as the people of God to swim with the sharks and apply wisdom. I firmly believe that there's truth to be conveyed in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. But there's truth that we must never say unless the Lord tells us when, how, and I firmly believe it. So I thank the woman of God for sharing the testimony. And, you know, again, just be very careful. I can't stress this enough. I make echo to the woman of God, Lavina Polite, as far as be very careful who you share, even among certain friends and even peers. I firmly believe that this is a season where we cannot afford to surround ourselves with people that just tolerate us.
Mm-hmm.
We got to surround ourselves with folks that celebrate our destiny, our purpose, and our assignment.
Mm-hmm.
They got to celebrate the Christos on the inside of us. They got to celebrate our anointing. If they're not celebrating us, then they're tolerating us. Not only must they celebrate us, they got to be excited for us.
Yes.
See, excited people make things happen for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, excited people not necessarily may not have the right resources, but see, excited people know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that can make it happen for you. And excited people will be willing to prophetically exaggerate about your destiny, about you, just to position you in where you're supposed to be in. A prime example of that, David. When you look at 1 Samuel chapter 16, The Bible says that there was a problem. What was the problem? Why? We were all created to solve problems. As a matter of fact, everything in existence is created to solve a problem. Lawyers solve legal problems. Doctors, medical conditions, preachers, spiritual problems, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
So we were all created for a purpose. And I firmly believe, woman of God, that thank you for sharing again this testimony. You were created for a divine purpose. You're so important. That devil, the enemy, ain't fighting you for where you're at now, your condition or situation you find yourself in. He's fighting you so you won't become what God already said that you will be.
Mm-hmm.
See? God has spoken some things over your life that are hovering over your head that yet have not become manifest, but they will.
Yes.
All you got to do is continue to press on and keep being obedient. It doesn't matter how much you slip, how much you fail, how much things you struggle with. Keep on pressing in faith. We all are a work in progress. I am still a work in progress.
That's right.
So we got to press on, continue, no matter what. But going back to the scripture I was saying, and I'm done, it says that David was positioned in Saul's court because somebody dared, who was so enthusiastic about him, and said, hey, Saul, I guess what? Tell you what, you have a problem. You're demon-possessed. Let us find somebody that can play the harp well. And as he plays the instrument, you may find some relief. Somebody jumps out of nowhere and says, hey, I know the man. He's of Bethlehem, son of Jesse. And he starts running down the line. But one of the things that impresses me, he says, and he's handsome. Now, what does good look have to do anything with the job description that Saul was looking for? Well, this, when somebody's excited, they will do everything in their power to position you in. It's like if you ask somebody for favor, hey, can you recommend me for a job position, whatever? You will know if a person really has recommended you highly by the way they speak of you. And what he was trying to do was trying to position David. He said, look, Saul, he's going to make you look good. He appealed to Saul's ego. He's going to make you look good, Saul. So guess what? You should hire me. You know, we need a good face around here. We need a good looks around here. You know, he's good. He's personable with people. He's social. He's going to make you look good, Saul. And then he said other things. He said, and he's a man of war. Wait a minute. What does that, again, does that have to do with the job description? They were just looking for a musician.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at that time, David was not a man of war.
Mm-hmm.
But what this excited person, this person that was so excited about David, wanted to do was to transmit to Saul, hey, you can also use him in case of a war. He can become your armor bearer.
Right.
So the excitement created a nice report. It created a nice resume, and that's why David got hired at Saul's court. That's where you need to hang up, be surrounded with people that are excited about you, people that encourage you, people that pray over you, and that's what I have to say for now.
Right. Amen. Before I ask Minister Weathersby for his words of encouragement, we do have a lot of callers listening. I just want to give the number 646-200-3838. Press 1 to go on the air to give your testimony or just say what you're thankful for. Martha, there was one more thing that you said. You said that I'm dumb. You know, I just want to tell you, you know, I know you from, you know, the Spiritual Sunday, and I was on another, I was on a conference line with you as well. You are far from dumb, honey. You're not dumb at all. You know, but you have to make sure that you make decisions that you think about before you make them. You have to always think before you do. And sometimes, you know, and you'll learn that in due time, and even some adults are learning it as well, that you have to think about things before you do things. You have to think about things before you say things. So I just want to, you know, make sure that I do mention, you know, that you had used the word dumb. You said, I know I'm dumb. You're not dumb. You just have to think clearly before you make certain decisions. You know, and with someone, you know, trying to kill you, you should definitely be just a little bit more mindful, you know, with your surroundings and mindful with the things you say and the things that you do. Minister Weathersby, would you like to give words of encouragement?
I just want to concur with what you just said. That's very important. And wisdom, it's important to have wisdom, but in all things that we need to have understanding as well. And also of concern is, what is it that seems to be that causes these episodes that keep popping up? of life and death. I'm you know, I want to look at it from a spiritual standpoint, but then I have to be conscious of whatever else could be going on as well,
right.
Because I'm mindful of that, that not all things are as we may believe they to be, spiritual. There may be
right.
some other things that are happening that every time it seems like everything is a life and death situation, and that ought not be. That's just way too much drama. That's just way too much drama for our lives at any given point in time. I've been in this world 60 years. I've been faced with a lot of different things in my life, but my God, not every day, not every week, is life so dramatic. So we got to be conscious of that and be careful in where we go and what circles we entertain and what thoughts we entertain in our minds as well. Amen, because we got to be very mindful of how the enemy operates. He just doesn't come forth and come at us in ways that we may look for him to come through someone or in that vein. He looks to operate within our minds because our minds is his playground if we allow that to happen. And that's why we have to be conscious of these things and be spiritually aware of these things. And he's nothing to be played with. That's for sure, and neither is our relationship with the Lord. We cannot be playing around with that.
Right, right. Amen, amen. What we're going to do, we do have another caller. We're going to bring the caller on. Caller, welcome to GQ Palace Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please?
Hi, Minister Teresa.
Hi, Minister Teresa. How are you?
Doing good, doing good. Y'all doing all right?
Yes, we're doing good.
Wonderful. I'm enjoying the show so far. I definitely want to give a testimony, just thankful and grateful to God for allowing me another day, just another opportunity to praise his name. And just listening to the show, I was so touched and moved now by Apostle Perez's words of encouragement, Minister Arthur, and also you, Lavina. You definitely spoke everything I was going to say when I got on. You got to be very careful what we say. You know, when we say we're dumb, we say we're weak, the things we say, we can receive so many things, you know, that we don't have to receive. So it's all about, it starts with us first. So just, Martha, I know you as well, and just be encouraged and listen to every word that these spiritual leaders said and Lavina said. You know, it's not about always being brave. You know, it's about being very responsible as well. Some of the battles that are won are the ones where you just simply walk away, you know, and you've won that battle. It's not all about trying to stand up and fight all the time. You know, just walk away. Because people, the devil is not playing, and God is not playing with us either. It's very real and very serious, and the devil had his eyes on us even before we were here. Revelation in chapter 12 speaks of how Satan had enmity against the woman in heaven, and it just carried on in the world. So you got to be encouraged. It's evil lurking around every door, and that's just the encouragement I wanted to give. I had a question for Apostle Perez, if I may ask the question.
Okay, go ahead.
Many people believe that some sins are greater than other sins. Like if, you know, someone murders someone, their sin is greater than that person that is lying. And I wanted to ask you, what are your thoughts on that?
Sister Lavina Polite, may I answer?
Yes, you may.
I believe that we need to get this traditional religious mindset of classifying sins by category. Mm-hmm. We've been taught by the traditional church that the only sins that can send us to hell or whatever, or the great sins, are adultery, fornication. But when you analyze and you look at the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 5 and 8, it speaks of the hypocrites. It speaks about the witchcraft. Now I want to move away from the Santeria and the occult. Witchcraft can also be manipulation, people that are very manipulative.
Mm-hmm.
It speaks of liars,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
of going to hell. So Yes, there are sins that what the Apostle John, not in Gospel of John, but I believe it's 1 John, he speaks of sins of death, meaning like adultery and fornication are sins that immediately cuts and interrupts your communication with God. Yes. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes we sin unconsciously. We sin all the time, even with our thoughts, even with certain actions. You know? That's why we always need to keep our prayer life, you know, and constant contact with the Lord and asking God for forgiveness, you know? I'm gonna shut up with this. I was, when I was young, I was raised by my praying grandmother. My grandmother prayed 8 hours a day. You know, I could brag on her and the Lord. You know what I'm saying? The Bible says in Proverbs, let somebody brag about you. Don't brag about yourself. But my grandmother, I would hear her crying and saying, Lord, please forgive all my sins. Wash me. And I would think, but what is she saying? This woman, all she does is pray. You know? And one day I interrupted and I said, why are you asking God to forgive me? She said, because we can even offend God by a thought. I'm just thinking something that's contrary to God's word. So we need to detox ourselves from people trying to capitalize certain sin and highlight certain sins like, oh, adultery or homosexuality. And guess what? Anything that is offensive to God, according to God's word, if you don't make it right, eventually, the Bible says, sin would reproduce sin and reproduce sin, and ultimately it will produce what? Death.
Uh-huh.
What's that talking about? Separation from God. Amen? I hope
Amen.
I answered your question.
Yes, you did. I'm kind of a struggle with that because I've had some leaders really go into debates about that, and you truly confirm my spirit. I always thought the only sin that was greater than any other sin was blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, you know. But all our sins can hide our face away from God, you know. But He'll forgive us of all of our sins if we ask for forgiveness. You definitely answered my question, and really, I was taking over when you were talking. I'm going to get deeper into the study.
Now, Sister Lavina Polite, may I interject you? She said something very important. I forgot to mention that.
Yes, go ahead.
Pertaining the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, first of all, let me say it like this. It's very hard for an individual to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. And you may say, what do you mean, Apostle Perez?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean in the sense that when somebody gets to that state or that level of blaspheming of the Holy Ghost is because that individual does not care about your salvation, does not care about having a relationship with God. The reason why I say that is because I've heard a lot of people, oh, my God, I think I've committed the unpardonable sin or whatever, what have you. And I will ask them, no, because you're concerned about it. You're worried about your relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Even if the person was demon-possessed, the evil spirit will leave that body temporarily and allow that person to commit that sin just so it will not be justified. So it's very hard.
Wow.
Now, you know, what about the people from the world? Well, they don't know Christ.
Right.
They don't know Christ. And a backslider, they're bitter. They're bitter against the church. They're bitter against the leader. God overlooks that. I'm talking about somebody that don't care about their salvation, don't care about having a relationship with God. But as long as you care about having a relationship with God, as long as you care about your salvation, you're seeking God to the best of your knowledge, to the best of your ability, you're safe. And that's what I wanted to say.
Amen. Amen. Minister Weathersby, would you like to give input on the question as well?
Yeah, you know, one thing that just came to mind to me is that in concurrence with Apostle Perez, the word of God says, be ye holy for the Lord thy God is holy. And we know he changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And
right.
and how we be holy is that is our obedience is better than our sacrifice. We must obey. So obeying is not sinning against God. And he doesn't quantify. He does not classify number one sin versus 100. Sin is sin. And anybody that try to make it anything else and try to justify their sinning is just, you know, they're just denying the truth therein. And,
Amen.
And you're trying to live a life that you want to live according to how you decide you want to live it, contrary to the will of God, and you're just trying to justify your what I call wild. because that's what some people will do. They will say, well, I'm not as bad as. No, it don't matter.
Right.
It doesn't matter because you have to give an account of what you've done in the body. And if you sinned against God, you've sinned against God. It does not matter what sin it was. Sin is sin, and we need to confess it and repent. And the other thing, I concur with Apostle Perez again about the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit. From what I understand in the Word of God, that occurs when you know when you distinctly know who God is and His will, and you just flat out deny it. Just say, well, no, I'm not going to do that. I refuse to do that. I don't want to accept it. I'm just flat out denying it. You know, that's how you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, because you know. I mean, it's been presented to you. You don't have no excuse to say, well, I did not know. No one ever told me, or it was never presented to me. No, you know, and yet you deny.
Right. Now, is that the same thing, let's just say, if someone, let's just say they used to drink, they used to smoke, they used to party, they used to steal, they used to do all these things, you know, and now that they're saved, they no longer do it. But when they give advice, you know, to other people, they're pretty much saying, okay, well, you should not do this or you should not do that, when, you know, other people are pretty much saying, okay, well, you used to do it, so what makes you so different? Now, isn't that similar? Because, okay, you used to do it. It was okay when you did it. But now that you no longer do it, it's a big problem. You know, what would the spiritual leader say to that?
That's a good question.
Well, I'm thinking that, again, that question is coming up because a person is either speaking to someone about something that they're doing that is wrong. But, yeah, just because I used to do something that was my former self. But I've been born again, and I'm a new creation. So that I used to do, I don't do no more. I should not do anymore because the Holy Ghost should be operating within me in my life, and it should be transforming me into this new creation. That's the evidence of my salvation, that I'm no longer the same person that I once was. I'm doing the things that I used to do in my former life that was contrary to the will of God. If I was out there partying and drinking and doing whatever else that tickled my fancy, because it varies from people to people, and then once I come into salvation and I continue on in that, there's something wrong. There's something wrong.
Now, do you believe that God covers you no matter what, though, or do you think
God, no.
I'm asking because. I've had a couple of conversations, you know, with different people, some spiritual leaders, you know, as well as just women and men of God. And the question has come up where, okay, well, ever since before you were born, you know, he was there. You know, he orders your steps. And if you choose to do something different, then that's you going against God. But someone else would say, okay, well, he covers you. But even though you're out there, you're sinning, you're doing the wrong thing, he still has his hands on you. Would that be a true statement?
That's a good question.
Miss Lavina Polite, sister,
yes.
May I interject?
Sure, sure.
Well, a very interesting question. I like this. First of all, we got to understand God's grace and mercy. If we did not know Christ and we had somebody, and we have someone praying for us, for example, I bachelored, even though I was born and raised, I'm a church baby. I was born and raised in church. But at the age of 17 and a half, 18 to 20, I decided to backslide. And during that time, I tell you, I got myself into things that I know my grandmother was praying for me. Okay? I did that. I did not, you know, I was backsliding, and I'm backsliding a snake. Now, as a believer now, grounded and rooted in the Word, I would not do that because I'm exposing myself deliberately.
Yes.
Okay? Once disobedience sets in, one thing we need to realize, Satan and God are very legalistic. When I say legalistic, I'm not talking about in the religious term. I'm talking about they're very legal. And they go by the word. And God will not violate his word for nobody. Psalms 138, verse 2 says it very clear. He said, I will honor my word above my name. He's not going to violate his word for nobody. And once you sin deliberately, you're exposing yourself to Satan's plan of attack. You're exposed. It's like being naked without clothes. You're not protected. And there's places, very interesting, I was reading a book by David Wilkerson, and he had made a statement, and it stuck in my spirit. It says, don't ever go in places where angels fear to step in. The angel of the Lord encampeth around those that fear the Lord.
That's right.
Psalms 34:7. To fear means I revere, that
That's
I
right.
honor God, that I'm obedient to God. But if I'm in disobedience, I'm unprotected.
That's right.
That's right.
Now, I might, just because I was, and I hate to use this word, but just for, allow me to use it, just because I was lucky one day doesn't mean that God, looked out for me. Maybe God woke somebody up to pray for me during that time. But you don't want to take those chances.
That's right.
Because
right.
Satan is not playing games. He's out there to kill, steal, and destroy. So,
That's
no,
right.
it is not a good thing to be doing. And if you're rooted and grounded in the word, that should not even be a matter of discussion.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You know, different topics come up, when you surround yourself with, I'm going to say different types of people, where you do have your spiritual leaders, you do have your man, your women of God, and at the same time, you do have, people who are still in the process of finding the Lord and accepting the Lord. So when you have the different type of topics, you get so many different feedbacks, and you want to be able to answer the questions, and give people the words of encouragement, but you want to make sure that you're coming correctly to these people,
Absolutely.
And at the same time, you don't want to sound, like a hypocrite, but at the same time, you want to tell them, I'm different. I'm not the person I used to be.
Right.
This is why I can tell you this in this type of manner. So that's, how I came, with the question, because all the different people that you may speak to on a different, on an everyday basis, not all of them know the Lord. And some of them who know the Lord are trying to become closer with the Lord.
Right.
So in their everyday travel, they have different questions. And if they're not able to communicate, with different people, whether it's a man or woman of God or whether it's a spiritual leader, they're looking for, answers. And, what we do, at GC Palace is we like to set that format where people can ask whatever questions they want to ask, and we will give them an answer. But before I give an answer, I want to make sure that I'm always correct with that answer first. And sometimes that means me consulting in a spiritual leader. This way, when I do relay the message or when the question comes up, I say, okay, well, I'm going to ask that question on Sunday, call in between these hours. This way you can hear the question. You heard my answer. But when you call in on Sunday, you'll hear the spiritual leader's answers as well. So this way, they'll have a better understanding that you're not just hearing it from a woman of God. You're hearing it from spiritual leaders. So it helps them have a better understanding, from my standpoint. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to go to a song, and then we're going to take a couple more callers.
Could have been me with no food on my table.
it could have been me.
Apostle Perez, you there?
Yes, ma'am.
And Minister Weathersby, you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. We're going to take another caller. Welcome to GQ Palace Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please?
Yes. Good evening. This is Rachel.
Good evening. How are you?
I am fine. How are you?
Traveling, but I'm good.
Still traveling. Oh, Lord, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you.
Thank you. Would you like to give your testimony or say what you're thankful for this evening?
Yes. First and foremost, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I am definitely thankful and grateful for. And a good evening to you, Miss Lavina, Minister Weathersby, good evening. And the guest, Dr. Augustin Perez, did I say that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, good evening all. I've heard the show tonight thus far. I've been waiting to get on. I'm only going to stay on for a short while live, but I'll be listening for the rest of the show because I am at work. I, as often as I do call in, I am going to ask for prayer. Definitely going to ask for prayer. I must say a lot of the things that I've been free and delivered from are trying to revisit, and I'm surrounded by a lot of negativity. But I definitely will continue to stand with the invincible. I'm not moving. I'm going to continue to be like that tree planted by the water, but I definitely right now am asking for prayer tonight, and I'm letting you all know that I'm constantly in prayer for you all.
Thank you. Thank you. What we're going to do is towards the end of the show, anyone that's looking for prayer, we'll have a moment where we'll ask one of the spiritual leaders to give prayer for anyone that's requesting prayer. So I know that you will be listening in to the show. So at the end of the show, we'll do prayer for everyone. But before we let you go, Minister, all right, Apostle Perez, would you like to give words of encouragement to the caller?
Yeah, praise the Lord, absolutely. First, I want to say thank you for your honesty. That is not. Thank you for taking the time. And it's a person that and I commend you for that. You know, that if more of those cases in the body of Christ, we would have been better off. So thank you for allowing us. Amen. Because somebody helped me, you see. And like I said in the beginning, we all are a work of progress. Ain't nobody here above anyone. We're all.
Amen.
I am my brother's keeper, and I am my sister's keeper. So I encourage you to press on, stay on the word of God. One of the things I want to say is to read a chapter a day of the book of Proverbs. Chapter a day. I know there's only 30 chapters. So what you're going to do is every day, just read one chapter. And whatever verse impresses you that you like, highlight it and try to learn it. Memorize it. Buy yourself a notebook. 80% of whatever you write, you retain it. So start writing down the verses. And then read one chapter a day of a book of Psalms. Why? The Psalms are tefillah. They're prayers. If you want to learn how to pray effectively, read the book of Psalms. If you want wisdom and good counsel, you read the book of Proverbs. So a chapter day. It doesn't matter if you finish the whole 30 chapters, go back to the beginning and start at chapter 1 again. And, you know, every day you start reading. And through the word of God, you will get encouragement, deliverance, and your soul. I can feel in my spirit your soul is crying out. You really want to please the Lord. You really love the Lord. And it happens to all of us, the best of us. Okay? Not too long ago, I needed somebody to pray me through, and I'm a leader. Okay? And that's very important. Like I said, never isolate yourself from godly counsel. Never. Yeah. That's the worst thing you can do. Then that's when we start making even heavier mistakes, heavier mistakes, and get ourselves in the mind. So that's what all I have to say at this point. So always stay close to the leader, to your pastor, to the church. Stay prayerful and stay in that word. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Minister Weathersley, would you like to give words of encouragement?
I concur with Apostle Dr. Perez. It's just vitally important that as we continue on our journey, that we continue walking with the Lord in spite of, because these tests and things that come up against us, they're designed for a specific reason. So we just have to continue to hold on to our faith and continue to trust God in all things. And in spite of what it looks like, feels like, or it seems like, God is still in control.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm just going to say, stay encouraged. And if we have to contact each other every single day, then we will. Then we
Thank
will.
You.
You know, I'm there. I'm a phone call away. You know, I know I'm not 5 minutes away, but I'm a phone call away. And, you know, my phone line is always open. Thank you. You're welcome. We're going to bring on another caller. Welcome to GQ Power Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please?
Hello. How's everybody doing? This is Rich Money.
Hey, Rich Money. How are you?
I'm okay. Minister Weatherby, are you there?
Yes, sir. How you
how
doing, my
you?
Brother?
I'm all right. Apostle Perez, how are you doing this evening? God bless you, sir. God bless you. Well, you know, I'm just calling in, you know, because I want prayer. You know, I'm going through some things, and lately my body just ain't been up to par. Like, my whole body, I've just been waking up sore and everything. You know, I go through the diabetes thing and everything. So my mouth is dry, and I don't know what's going on with my medicine. You know, and everybody's telling me about this diabetes thing. You understand? I don't know too much about it, but a lot of people are telling me about it. You know, how you go in a diabetic coma and how they clip off your feet and everything like that. You know, and I'm not trying to go that route. You know, I take my medicine. I try to take it. Mrs. Labina, she informed me, you got to take your medicine, you got to take your medicine, take your medicine, take your medicine. And, you know, and it's not that I take it. It's not that I take it as a joke, but what it is, you know, and I don't usually speak my business out like this, so this must be a good thing because I don't normally do this. Nobody knows about this. Nobody knows about this at all. But I am the type, my biggest fear is needles, and I have to stick myself. So it's like it's coming down to it's not a fear no more, but since it hurts a little now, it's starting to come back to me. So I'm thinking maybe that could be it, you understand? Because mine is so bad where I can't even take pills. I have to take the insulin, you know, the injection, you understand? So all I'm doing is asking for a little prayer, you know, a little encouragement, something to help me actually get through all this.
Right, so I'm going to go to Apostle Perez first for words of encouragement.
Well, first of all, I want to say, brother, do not ignore the signs of your body. I know that we're a people in a community of faith, but God has placed doctors, and I believe in medicine. I believe in doctors now. So it's good that you get a real understanding and research, you know, what it is wrong with your body. Get a doctor's checkup. No matter what's the doctor's report, God is still a healer.
Mm-hmm.
God
Amen.
Is still a healer. And you don't know what your body's going through right now, so I suggest you take appropriate vitamins, nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I suggest every day you take is vitamin C. You mix it up with L-lysine, which is protein. It helps to fight infections and bacteria, and you can flood your system with that. Take plenty of water. Eliminate the soda, my brother. Eliminate any juice that have high concentration of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the bread, avoid eating after 7 o'clock because, you know, all of that stuff, because, you know, you eat late, you know, it starts accumulating and it can produce heart attacks, and you don't want that. So you want to take care of your body as consciously as you can. Okay, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:17 that our body is temple of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And that if you don't
Amen.
Take care of it, then unfortunately the body will deteriorate. So what we need to do is, first thing, you need to go to a doctor, you know, go to a medical checkup and let him diagnose or give you a prognosis, whatever, what's your condition. Do not be alarmed.
I did all that.
A last report. We still believe in a God that heals. But it is good that you take the medication. It's good that you follow the instructions until God performs the miracle.
Mm-hmm.
We're not ruling that out. God can perform a miracle, but we need to do our part. Whatever's impossible, God does it. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Be encouraged. Be
Amen.
Encouraged. It's not the end of the line.
That's right. Minister Weathersby.
Amen. Again, just piggybacking on what the Apostle Dr. Perez just said, it's vitally important that we follow those plans that are in place that are there to aid us in dealing with this sickness, this illness, and knowing that, again, once you follow the program and follow the plan, You know, God can work, do the work that only he can do, which is, as the apostle noted, he provides the healing, and you could eventually end up being off of all form of medication, pills, insulin. There's many testimonies that attest to that from people that have been gone through the diabetic process. So that's something that we have to be conscious of. And then also I like to look at it from this standpoint as well. It's the same as what we would do in our relationship with the Lord. We have to follow the plan. We have
Amen.
To follow the plan. And, uh-huh. and the more and more we follow the plan, the better and better that we are. That's what I would say, bro. Just stick to the plan, follow the plan, and everything will work itself out, because God, he has a way of doing that. He will work it out for us when we adhere to what the plan is. And then, again, like everything else, even with all of the medication that we can get and all of the medical assistance that we can get, it's just like faith. We have to believe that everything is working the way
yes.
it's supposed to be working.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm mindful, people can be taking the medication, they can be doing everything else that they're supposed to be doing, but they're not believing that anything is working. And guess what? It ain't going to be working for you.
Right.
Okay, so can I ask another question? How do y'all feel about these people coming on TV acting like they're healing people? These pastors, they're coming on TV, they're painting people, we're saying they're healing them. You know, how do you feel about that? Do you think that's real? Or...
I know the Word of God. The Word of God tells us that there is healing, and that healing is available to us. And that's, and the Word of God is true. That doesn't change. But you know, we got to be conscious of what goes on that's presented to us, and recognize it for what it be. I try to spirit by the Spirit to know whether it is of God. You know, I don't discount healing and anyone that has the gift of healing, but I, you know, sometimes things are presented to us, and it's because people are profiting off of what they're doing, and they're making a mockery at times of the Word of God. But we have to be conscious of this and know that. That's why it's important to understand and know the Word of God, and to walk as, you know, look for a closer relationship with the Lord, because the Lord reveals things to us. I mean, he doesn't want us walking around here blind and not knowing things that pertain to him. You know, Hosea 4:6 speaks very plainly about his people are being destroyed for lack of knowledge. God doesn't want us not knowing and not having the proper knowledge that we need about the things that pertain to him. And the Holy Spirit, if we allow it to do it in our operate fully within our lives, it will do nothing but bring us into all paths of righteousness and truth. And it will always open up our understanding to the things that pertain to God that we need to know. And unfortunately, sometimes what can happen is that people can start putting their faith in people as opposed to God. God is still the healer.
Amen.
Anybody that projects anything else other than that, well, the Bible speaks to that.
Right. Amen. Apostle Perez?
Well, I make echo what the man of God, Arthur Wittesby, just spoke. I make echo to what he's saying, and I agree. Absolutely, 100%. And I do want to make that statement clear. God does still in the healing business. God
mm-hmm.
still is in the healing business. But I firmly believe in accountability. Accountability is a must. If I claim that God uses me, let's say, in the ministry of healing, then I should not be afraid to send them to the doctors.
All right.
And get a
right.
medical report.
That's right.
Being responsible. Because even Jesus, when he healed the 10 lepers,
all right,
the first
sir.
Thing he did was go and show yourself before the high priest.
That's
because
right.
in ancient times, in olden biblical times, when the only one that can certify and that were authorized to examine a person that had leprosy was the priest.
Mm-hmm.
So even Jesus, being God, almighty, all of authority, he, while he was on the earth, he was teaching us to submit under authority also.
Mm-hmm.
See, too many of us, we got that problem. Oh, I'm bishop, this, I'm apostle, so what? a deacon can set me straight through the Word of God, and I have to heed when it comes to the Word of God. There's no ifs or buts about it, and titles and positions has nothing to do with it. If the Word of God is true, the Word of God is true, point blank.
Amen.
And even Jesus submitted himself and said, hey, I healed you, but go show yourself before the high priest. And we know the story. They got healed, and you know, one of them came back and whatever, what have you, and gave thanks to Jesus
right.
or what have you. But the point is, there must be accountability.
Amen.
Accountability.
Amen.
And I should not be afraid to tell somebody, okay, I believe the Lord healed you, but go to the doctor, please get a medical report, bring me back a copy. And that's what I usually do. And I always tell my spiritual children, especially those that operate heavily in healing and in miracles, I said, always get a certified copy from the people of God that allegedly got healed. Do not be afraid to ask them for that. Because guess what? We're not the one that heals. It's God that heals.
That's right.
If God healed them, amen. If God didn't heal them, amen. Hey, guess what? I don't heal nobody. It's God.
That's right.
That's right.
That's it.
Amen.
So that's what I have to say.
I don't mean to cut you off. So do you think the person, like for instance, this God that's acting like he's healing people, do you really think he's going to go to heaven? Or do you believe, do you think it's the best thing is heaven and hell? Or do you think he's going to go to heaven? Because what he's doing is he's taking the fact that he's healing people, which he's really not, and he's just collecting their money.
Well, you know, Brother Rich, in the Word of God, it speaks to something to that effect. The Word of God says that many are going to come before him and one day to say at that great day and say, did I not prophesy in your name? Did I not heal in your name? And then the Lord himself, the judge, the great judge, is going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. So some people run the danger of being never known by God. Doing what we think is a great work in the Lord, but obviously this is said several times in the Bible, in the Old and the New Testament, honoring God with their lips, but their heart is far from him. He never knew him.
Amen. 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 Now, my words of encouragement, Brother Rich, is taking the medication, to me, is the key. No matter how you feel about it, you have to do your part, and your part is by taking your medication, you know, making sure you keep your appointments and everything. You have to be consistent. You have to be willing. You have to be a willing participant to do your part and then allow God to do the rest. But there's a part that you have to play that's very important, you know, even with the fear, you know, of needles. If the doctor says, okay, well, you have to take your insulin, you know, this many times a day, then you have to do it. You know, you have to do your part, and that's very important, you know. And when you don't do your part, you'll see that a lot more things will go wrong, you know, where you have to make sure that you're, you know, on top of it at all times. You know, diabetes isn't anything, you know, to play with. Diabetic coma, if the sugar gets too low or the sugar gets too high, that can put you in a diabetic coma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the blood's not circulating right through your fingers, through your toes, through your legs, you know, yes, you know, there is room for amputation. But you have to do your part so it doesn't get to that point. Usually if it gets to that point, it's because the person ignored the fact that they should not eat that sugar. They should not eat so many breads. They should not eat that carbohydrate that turns into the sugar. You know, they're still drinking the soda. There's a lot of different things that you can do not to get to that point, but I think you have to do your part in it to make sure that once you do your part, God will handle his.
Amen. And again, that for me, when I listen to that and everything that Sister Lavina said, it just mirrors the same thing that God is concerned with us in our relationship with him. Salvation is free. We know that. But there is a part that you must do after you become saved that God expects of us. And
right.
if we don't do it, then we fall away from him. We lose our connection. And when we lose our connection from the Lord, you know what? We lose our protection, and we lose the ability to have God to be able to step forth and manifest himself in our lives at the time that we need him. We don't want to end up like Samson. when he found himself dealing with Delilah, and he disobeyed what God told him, and his parents told him that he should not do, and he did that contrary thing.
Mm-hmm.
Steadily engaged in activities that God told him, stay away from the Philistine women, and that was his passion. And he kept messing around with them so much so that he got so far away from God, because anytime you engage in sin and you disobey God, then you're walking away from God. God does not move. He's constant. But when we engage in activities that are contrary to the will of God, then we inch away from him. Samson got so far away from the Lord that when he needed him the most, he did not know that the presence of the Lord had left him or was no longer with him.
That's right.
That's why we have to do what we need to do here in the natural as well, because there's a plan for us to make ourselves better and make ourselves well. And then we have to be mindful of this. What Jesus asked the man at the pool of Bethesda, after 38 years, this man suffered with an infirmity. And Jesus just, and he was waiting, you know, he had to come down to this pool at a certain time of the year when the angel of the Lord would come and trouble the waters, and if you got in there quick, fast, in a hurry, you got healed. Well, 38 years, this man ended up at the pool on a bed of affliction, but he never got into the pool. And Jesus came upon him one day and just asked him the question, would you be made whole? So the question is for us in our health and right now, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be made well? If that be the case, follow the plan.
That's right.
Follow the plan.
That's right. I definitely agree. I definitely agree. Take that medicine. But what we're going to do is we're going to go to a song, and then we'll back from the song. But before we go to the song, I just want to go to you listening from your computers and listening from your cell phones. You have to press 1 to go on the air. The number is 646-200-3838, and just press the 1 button to be able to join us in on Spiritual Sunday. Otherwise, you can continue to listen to the show. We're going to go to a song, and then we're going to come right back.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. Say no weapon.
Spiritual Sunday. Welcome back. And I just want to give a quick update because those of you who listen to GQ Palace, a couple months ago, I was waking up to this song, No Weapons Formed Against Me. And I want to say it was about maybe about 2 or 3 weeks straight, waking up 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, just singing this song. And the first time it happened, I had never heard the song. And then all of a sudden, the song just kept waking me up. Every time I wake up, I would hear the song. And that was actually, you know, God's way of telling me, you know, that things were kind of hectic around me, you know, and the devil was busy, you know. But I just want to make sure that I give the update and explain that after I got rid of the negativity that was there, that was placed there, I'm going to say I have not woke up to that song since. You know, you know, I love the song. You know, I love the song. I'm going to say now I love the song because before when I was waking up in the middle of the night with the song, I had no idea why I was waking up with the song. I'm like, all right, what's going on? And I'm speaking to different, you know, spiritual leaders and speaking to my mom and my pastor. And they're just like, listen, you need to pray. Just pray. Just pray. But after you pray, make sure that you reevaluate, you know, your life, reevaluate different situations. And I'm going to tell you, after I reevaluated everything, and I'm going to say cleaned house a little bit, I felt much better. You know, I felt much better. So I just wanted to definitely give that update to everyone to let them know that I haven't woke up with that song, you know. And sometimes, you know, God works in mysterious ways. Where I love my gospel music, and I guess the way to minister to me and to wake me up was pay attention to the song, you know, pay attention to your surroundings. So once I did that, you know, and I trusted everything in him, everything worked out smooth, you know. And my next lesson was forgiveness. You know, I was big on, you know, I don't forgive you, you know, but then as time went on, and I think Minister Weathersby was on the air the day of the show, and we spoke about it, you know, and when I decided to, okay, you know what, I forgive, you know, certain people for doing different things to me, I felt much better. I felt like there was like a burden that had been like lifted, you know, from me. And I remember when I got saved, oh my God, years ago, and the feeling that I had of being fresh and being brand new and the walk being different, the talk being different, just the whole vibe was completely different. And, you know, my, you know, words of encouragement just for myself, because, yes, I like to give it, but I also like to take my own, you know, information as well. And it was to let go, you know, let go. Just release it to God and trust that he handles everything and everything else comes back into place. So I definitely wanted to give that that update to you, to, you know, all the listeners, you know, as well as our special guest, the Minister Weathersby as well. But the question that I have for the spiritual leaders tonight is a question that one of the callers had called in, and, you know, they were explaining they had went to a church, and with them going to the church, you know, they didn't really feel, you know, they didn't feel the connection, you know, with the church. And after further speaking to, you know, the caller, you know, on a personal level, you know, she mentioned a false prophecy to me. So I wanted to know, how do you feel as spiritual leaders, you know, about false prophecy? People that, you know, come to you and they say they come to you doing God's work, but then they do all of the bad-mouthing, I'm going to say bad-mouthing the Holy Ghost, because they bad-mouth other spiritual leaders. Now, how do you feel about, like, how do you feel about that? Is that acceptable? You know, I do know that, you know, God isn't the author of any type of you know, confusion or confrontation, but how do you feel, you know, about that in all aspects, you know, of it? Apostle Perez?
Well, I praise the Lord, God. That's a very good question. I first want to say that, unfortunately, we're living in a season or in a time where the church world, Christendom, is living. We get very easily impressed by charismatic spiritual manifestation or gifts. The most notable one is the gift of prophecy. And we got to really read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Prophecy must be confined within the parameters of the Word of God, which is to bring comfort, exhortation, and consolation. Within the physical exhortation, there can be rebuke, correction, all within the context of love. Comfort, there must be comfort, there must be hope in that message. You speak in the mind of God, you speak in the mind of God, and all of this. Now, the Lord commands us not to despise prophecy. We cannot judge the prophet, the vessel, but we can judge the prophecy. And how do we judge it? Is it according to God's word?
All right.
Okay. Does it go according to God's word? Now, in order for you to know if it goes according to God's word, you must know the word. If you don't know the word, then you will have very much difficulty in discerning.
Right.
But nevertheless, every believer should have a certain degree of discernment. Mm-hmm. And that's only obtained through a healthy prayer life.
Okay.
But you've got to know the word. The prophecy has to line up with the word. Second, you must have an inner witness of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
If there's not a witness, because some people, they're just operating in great gifts, what I call great gifts, but there's no presence and there's no power, because they have no relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to understand something. Just because a person displays charismatic spiritual gifts, whether it be prophecy, word or knowledge, whatever, does not declare the integrity, nor the spirituality, nor the maturity of that individual.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
The Bible says God used an ass in the Bible. And I'm not cursing. That's what the Bible says.
That's an ass. Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay? And it was neither spiritual nor mature.
Mm-hmm.
It was an animal. Okay? So, because God is the only boss that will fire you and allow you to keep on working.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's why in that day, many would say, Lord, Lord, I cast out devil. I did this. And the Lord said, I knew you not. Evildoers of iniquity. So, even though we cannot judge the vessel, the vessel that gave the prophecy, we can judge the prophecy. So, does it line up with the word of God? Number two, do you feel the witness? And then even, let's say it is neither, because we've been taught for so many years to only receive a prophetic word that serves as a confirmation. For example, something that we've been told over and over and over, something that God has told us first, which is correct.
Right.
Now, there are times that God may speak to you pertaining something that may not make sense to you right now. You might not even receive peace about it or confirmation. Don't disregard it.
Right.
Because it may be God talking to you. For example, what did Saul ever know about becoming a king until Prophet Samuel revealed it unto him?
All right.
What did David ever know about becoming the next king over Israel until Prophet Samuel revealed it unto him?
That's right.
So there's some things that we have to take. I have learned through my years not to worry about prophecy. If somebody gives me a word, I say I receive it and I speak. But now it got to be within the context of the word of God. Now, if I'm crazy, I ain't thinking. Or the Lord says, I got a new wife for you. It's newness. It's a time of newness. And God says, a new things, new relationship. The devil is a liar.
I know that's
right.
You've
got to stay within the word of God.
So that's right.
If everything lines up with the word, even though I don't get a witness, and he says something pertaining to my future, because that's called the gift of word of wisdom.
Okay.
A lot of people confuse with the gift of prophecy and the word of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Word of knowledge, word of prophecy, word of wisdom. Word of wisdom is not to give advice.
Word of wisdom is a supernatural revealed word of the Holy Ghost pertaining your future.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody says, and the Lord said, you shall be a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe at that moment you don't receive no confirmation, you don't get no witness, but guess what? If it's the word of the Lord, it will come to pass.
That's
and
right.
And then thirdly, time is a witness for everything. That's all I have to say on that subject.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Minister Weathersby?
Amen. I totally agree with what Apostle Dr. Perez said. And for me, anything that that speaks about God or the Word of God, it should always take you to God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. It should take you to the King.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. It should always take you there. If it takes you anywhere else other than to the King, then guess what? It's not God. It's not related to Him. It's not of God. It should always take you to the King.
Amen. All right. Well, we're going to do. We do have a caller. Caller, welcome to GQ Power Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please?
Jeremy.
Hi, Jeremy.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
I've been thinking about you.
Same here. Same here.
Mhm. I've been thinking about you.
No, I'm doing good. Thanks to my Lord and Savior.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
You know.
Mhm.
Without Him, it wouldn't be nothing.
That's right. That's
but,
right.
Real talk between me and you, sis, you caught me at a bad time.
It's okay. It's okay. I you know what? Minister Weathersby has heard you, and we have Apostle Perez on the air tonight, and I have been thinking about you. So I wanted you to call in to just say what you're thankful for today. Not yesterday. Today. That's it. That's it.
What I'm thankful for,
mm-hmm.
waking up and going to sleep.
Okay. All right, and you've been good, right? You've been okay?
Yes, well, because all the snow got me bound in, so I can't move. We got over 2 feet of snow, so I'm stuck.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for taking a few minutes out. And definitely calling in because you have been on my mind.
Really? Huh?
You know, you've been on my mind and I've been worried about you. So I thank you for, you know, taking a few minutes to call in tonight.
Okay. But other than the circumstances tonight, you already know I'm there.
Yes, I know. I know. I know.
All right.
Okay. Well, I love you and thank you for calling, okay?
I love you too, sis.
All right. Take care. Okay, that of course, you know, he says this, that's my brother, you know, and, you know, he calls in and he has his, you know, testimony, which he'll share, you know, at a later date. He has shared, you know, bits and pieces of it before, but last month was actually the anniversary of my dad's death, and, you know, he has been gone, you know, 10 years now. So I definitely was worried about him. He was weighing, you know, heavenly in my spirit, and I wanted to make sure he was okay, and I knew that.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes.
Well, I'm pretty sure, you know, what Lavina was explaining. This is Rich Money. Like she said, she's on the road, but we have her back right here, so.
About that. But yes, I was worried about him. I was definitely worried, and with it being the anniversary last month, I just wanted to make sure he was okay. And, you know, he's a big supporter of GQ Palace, but it's something about, you know, I tell him about Spiritual Sundays where, you know, I'm just hoping and praying his connection with God will, you know, get closer. You know, he'll become closer to him. that's definitely, you know, a prayer of mine, definitely a prayer of mine. But the next question that I do have for the spiritual leaders is, do you believe that a person has to go to church in order to be given a title and use that title? Before they were in church, but they stopped going to church. So do you believe that that person is still able to prophesy over you?
Okay. May I interject?
Sure.
Okay, if I get this straight, you mean a person that was in the church?
Yeah, in the church at one time.
Okay.
Stopped going to church, you know, because of whatever the situation. But they still have, you know, a title, whether it's a prophet, a minister, or a pastor, you know, but they're no longer in the church. They no longer go to church at all. Do you believe that that person should be able to, you know, prophesy over you?
And they don't go to church for what reason?
That I don't know. That I don't know. It's you'll see that a lot of the questions that I have, you know, I believe I said earlier with GQ Powers, we set a format up where people are able to ask questions. And that was the question that came to me and that I honestly didn't know how to answer it.
Gotcha. Okay.
I'm a woman of God, you know, so I look for the spiritual leaders for, you know, for their answers, you know, on it, you know, and the way it was given to me is no matter what their reason is, you know, the person, you know, doesn't go.
Okay. Well, we go back to what I said in the beginning, accountability.
Mm-hmm.
We're all accountable to somebody. We're all submitted to somebody. We have to. We have to be accountable. Even the Apostle Paul,
mm-hmm.
who wrote the majority, entirety of the New Testament, was submitted under Peter. Okay? You have to be submitted under somebody. It can't be a lone ranger spirit. That's a danger sign.
Mm-hmm.
That's how cults get started.
That's
the
right.
Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the gathering of the saints,
mm-hmm.
as many have a custom. That's the word of God. That's it. You know, we got to obey it. There's no if or buts about it. Now,
amen.
If the person is sickly or elderly, then it's up to the local pastor and some members to come and fellowship with that person who's sickly, you know, long-term sickness, you know, and cater and give overall spiritual care. But if the person has two good legs, there should be no reason. I don't care who has offended you. Now, if you feel led to move on to another ministry, to another church, and you feel the approval of God, then do so.
Mm-hmm.
If the leadership that you're under is not living right or whatever, he's insane and stuff like that, and it's a fact and not a rumor, hey, by all means, go to another ministry, go to another church, you know, where they preach sound doctrine, you know,
amen.
Sound doctrine. And but, you know, I wouldn't advise somebody that's been out of accountability to be ministering, because especially if they prophesy over you. I mean, prophets are like water pipes.
Mm-hmm.
A pipe, water flows through it, but if you don't give treatment to that water pipe, oxidation sets in.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have rust. Water will continue to flow, but then that water will also partake particles of that rust or that oxidation. So, in other words, you will get a divine impartation. It could be God, but then you can get imparted a weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want that. I can testify. Let me say it like this, and I'm done. I was in California. Mm-hmm. I was preaching for a pastor there in California. And the Lord, by his grace and mercy, to God be all the honor and glory, he used me to solve a problem of 20 years of leadership. The Lord had me speaking on perception of your leader, how we must have a right perception of our leader. Well, anyway, to make the long story short, the Lord brought it about how we need to respect, we need to honor, we need to be submitted under leadership. Romans chapter 13 says it all.
Yes,
he
sir.
said,
whoever does not submit unto leadership, which is established by God, opposes God, point blank. Romans chapter 13, read the whole chapter. It's right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's clear.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was teaching on that, and it solved, you know, it solved a problem. Now, after the revival, the pastor set me aside, and he mentioned a name of a preacher, a particular preacher. He said, hey, there's this particular preacher that God uses mightily. He calls people by the first, last name, social security. He's deep, and he could draw many crowds. I'm thinking maybe run a revival with him here, and, you know, because he draws a lot of crowds, and, you know, we could have a nice, you know, nice crowd, and, you know, since I'm behind the mortgage, whatever was the excuse.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked me for my opinion. I said, brother, pastor, I don't advise that you bring that gentleman in. I don't care how many people he draws in into your church. I don't care how gifted he is. I said, right now he's going through a bad divorce, a nasty one. Number two, he don't have a pastor right now. And I know that for a fact.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't been submitted. He don't tie to nobody. He's not accountable to nobody. You don't want to put that man in the pulpit because the problem that God sticks in your pulpit after this revival, he's going to mess it up.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? He did it anyway because the man had a name and he was a renowned preacher. Lo and behold, after the revival, guess what happened? They threw this local pastor out of the church and the board took over.
Mm-hmm.
I forewarned them. I told them, you got to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Somebody can transmit something divine, but they can transmit and transfer some a weakness. So now you're struggling with something. See, impartation is not just somebody laying hands on. Impartation can just be somebody who's not authorized and who's not operating legally, you know, by the standards of the Word of God and ministering unto you, and he can impart his weakness. Now you're struggling with something that you never struggled with. So you've got to be very careful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I believe a lot in accountability. Accountability is a must. And that's all I have to say on that matter.
Okay. Amen. Minister Weathersby?
Apostle Dr. Perez said it all. That's that. He had, absolutely. Accountability and according to the Word of God. That's the ultimate, that's the ultimate map and blueprint that we have to follow. And if things are not being adhered to according to the Word of God, then you're setting yourself up for some serious mess. Always.
Right.
Always. So it's best for us to follow according to what God says and you know, to avoid some things that I've come to this understanding that, you know, we're going to suffer for some things. The Bible tells us that we're going to suffer for some things just because we name the name of Christ. But then there's some things that we go through that I call needless suffering.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't necessarily need to suffer.
Right.
And you know that, as the Apostle Dr. Perez had informed that pastor, what that he should have avoided, he had an understanding that, you know, he was taking on, if he did something, that something bad could come of that. And when you go through that and ignore that good counsel, then you needlessly suffer.
Right.
You needlessly suffer. So
and we
ought to try to avoid that as much as possible.
Right, and that's a needless suffer. That's
yes.
You called it, right, a needless suffer. You know, I definitely thank you, spiritual leaders, for, you know, answering, you know, some of the questions, because we do have a group, you know, on Facebook where, you know, people ask, you know, questions all the time, and I always look to the leaders to answer them. You know, I answer them, but, you know, I answer them from a woman of God standpoint, you know. And with me answering them, it's not the same, you know, as hearing, you know, a spiritual leader answer them. And sometimes, you know, I'm God is working with me, you know, on, you know, my tongue. I always say, Apostle Perez, you know, that's one thing that when I do my prayers, you know, I ask God to, you know, just hold my tongue, just help me with it, you know, because sometimes if things don't seem right, you know, I speak on it, you know, and sometimes, you know, sometimes I use words that, and I'm not even curse words, but some of the people on Facebook like to say, okay, well, you know, you sure gave a tongue lashing, you know. And sometimes I don't mean to give a tongue lashing. I just mean to express myself of how I feel, you know, about certain situations. And with GQ Palace having so many different shows, you know, sometimes you deal with a lot of different people. So you just want to be mindful of what you say and how you say it and how you deliver your message. So when I do my prayer, I just make sure that, you know, I include that, you know, in there, you know, just, you know, for him to continue to help me, you know, with that.
Right.
Help me, guide me, you know, and just lead me, you know, down the right path and make sure that when I deliver the message, I deliver it the way he wants me to deliver it.
Right.
You know, which and sometimes, you know, when you speak to, you know, spiritual leaders, you know, you want to make sure that you definitely, you know, come correct, you know, with them, because then they'll take you to different scriptures in the Bible. And I've learned to be able to go to scriptures myself. But there's, I believe that there's the Bible and it's how you interpret the Bible. Somebody else might interpret the Bible different, and you can be looking at the same scripture and going over the same exact thing, but the interpretation may be different.
But you know, Sister Lavina, that's why in, even in this forum and you know, you're utilizing those that God has placed here to aid and assist.
Yes.
Ultimately, I'm going to always say this, and it's important, and I know Apostle Dr. Perez will, you know, possibly agree as well. I'm going to always appoint someone to God and to Christ, because, again, what we want them to understand is that their answer to everything is in the Word of God. That's the reason why the Scripture says to study to show yourself approved, not so that you can have a degree or a title.
Right.
So that you can rightly understand and divide and be able to determine what's truth and what's not truth in the Word of God, because you
right.
need to know it for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You really need to know it for yourself. And by pushing someone towards Christ and the Word of God, all I'm doing is saying you got to get close to him. You got to
yes.
get a close relationship. Once you get a close relationship with the Lord, then there ain't going to be but one interpretation.
That's
and
right.
that's God.
That's right.
There's no allowance for us to come in there and interpret it based upon, well, you know, I feel about it like this. It ain't about how I feel.
Right.
It's what
right.
the Word of God says.
Right.
And his word is irrefutable. That's the word that I use. You know, you can try to challenge that thing if you want to, but I feel sorry for the one that does.
Right.
I don't want to be in their presence when they stand there and try to challenge the Word of God, because
mm-hmm.
something will happen to them.
Amen. Amen. We're going to bring on a caller real fast. Welcome to GQ Palace Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please?
Hi, Sister Lavina. This is Pastor Butler. How are you?
Good, Pastor Butler. How are you?
I'm good. And Minister Weversley and Dr. Perez, God bless you, men of God. I've been listening since 7 o'clock. I've just been listening and just enjoying the word on tonight and some very good questions that have been risen. And I thank God for the wisdom and the knowledge that has been spoken in this on the airway tonight. It was much needed for the body of Christ, because truly we are in this day, the day of apostasy, where we will have false prophets in the land, false teachers. The Bible lets us know this, and I thank God for the wisdom in the room tonight. I really, really thank God for this on tonight, Dr. Perez and Minister Weversley.
Yes.
I just wanted to say something in regards to interpretation. When you talk about interpretation of the Word of God, you're going to have many, many interpretations. But today, in this hour, and according to the Word in Ephesians, the first chapter, we want the revelation. We want God to give us the revelation of His Word. And we as the people of God, We lack in that area of revelation, because we don't have, a lot of us lack relationship. You got to have relationship in order to get revelation. And this is what the Apostle Paul was praying, prayer for revelation for the saints, for the body of Christ, that we would have revelation in the knowledge of God, of Him. And that's what we need in this day. And only God can give you that. It only comes from God. It only comes from God. And we as the ministers of this gospel, thank you, Dr. Perez. We are truly accountable. I don't care what title you operate in. It's not about title. It's about your relationship with God. And we are accountable to God. And God is not going to go against His word. There is an order that has been established. from the very beginning. So, and above the church is God, and God has placed his leaders over us to teach us, to help us to grow in the ways of God. We definitely need to have a spiritual covering over us in the body of Christ. Without it, we're out of the will of God. We're out of his word.
Right. That's, out of can you only have a spiritual covering if you're in the church and you're a spiritual leader?
When you say in the church, because understand that the church, that we are the church, the people of God. So when you say you're affiliated with a particular
assembly.
Well, the Bible tells us to forsake not the assembling together. And how can you lead anybody if you're not doing it the way God says? And you need to be. You need to be in a house in the church of God. You need to be assembled. It is a must.
Right.
I don't know why. Your gift, if understand that the body of Christ, each one of us has a gift, and our gift is not just for us. If you're saying that you don't assemble yourself, then what God has given you for the body of Christ, then it's just you've taken it away. You're using it for, I don't know what you're using it for. You said, I heard you say something about, can people still prophesy to you and they don't go to church?
Right.
Yes, they can. Yes, they can. Because the Bible lets us know that the gift comes without repentance. And so people will operate. It doesn't mean that it's not true, because the Bible does say that I've had sinners, people that are on the street, people that I know don't have a relationship with God and will say things, and I was like, and it's not off the left field, and it lines up with the word of God. So you having a relationship with God, because the gift comes without repentance, and you see that so vividly in the land, that these gifts are in operation whether people go to church or not. The gifts are still the gifts are still performing, because God does not give you the gift and then take it away. It's what
right.
you do
okay.
with it when you give it back to him. What are you using it for? For self-gain, or is it for the glory of God?
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So what's your purpose? What's the agenda behind you giving a word that you say came from God? Or however, it's still a gift.
So it doesn't go
dormant.
And you
have to line up.
So it doesn't go dormant. It's a gift that was given to you, and it's up to you to pretty much to utilize that gift.
Some gifts do lie dormant because they're not using them. Some people don't use the gifts that God has given them.
Okay.
Yes, some gifts do lie dormant. Yes, they do.
Okay. Okay. We're going to just bring on a caller real fast. Welcome to GQ Power Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please?
This is Kia.
Hi, Kia. How are you?
Good. How's everybody?
All is well on this end.
Yes, amen.
I just want to say just one thing. My family right now. My family is close. My cousin, who we thought we beat this cancer 4 years ago, came back and got her last night. She was the epitome of, older cousins. In her frailty, well, she keeps the family laughing, but in her frailty, she whispered to me, because I have a birthday next Saturday. In her frailty, the family comes in and out the room. The strength that she had to wish me the same happy birthday to me.
Oh.
So I'm not going to be there for my birthday.
Wow.
And I look at my sister, because her and my sister are close. They're adoption, and they're the godmother of each other's children, my sister's husband, and my nephew. That's how close, you know, our family, you know, that's how close we are. I remember being shitted just after being around these 18-year-olds. You know, everywhere they'd gone, jump in the car with them. And she was telling the story of all this, you know, things, you know, from everybody. And then, you know, she was talking about how, you know, I was a brat of the family, you know, how, oh my, you know, the blizzard and, you know, snowing. You know, she don't shovel snow. And I can say, because my daddy said I didn't have to shovel snow. And he looked at me, everybody in the room, and she said, I just got one more thing to say, and she sung happy birthday to Kia. Less than 20 minutes later, she whispered in my ear, and she said, I know this one was going to be on your birthday. I'm going to be with you in spirit. I just asked God for travel mercy as my grandfather come here today. He had another granddaughter, my aunt traveling from Miami, Detroit, my uncles. They come here to bear my aunt. I thank God for my mother and her sister that's here. Because
yeah.
The sisters have buried the daughter. I found that same seat as my cousin. But I thank God for the closeness in my family.
Yes.
Why he is blessed. He don't know how blessed he is to have a mother like her.
Yes. Yes. You're absolutely right. I want to go.
But I know she's resting now.
Yes.
And so I just thank God, because he made no mistake when he came and got her at 11:46. I just wanted to share that.
Right, I'm going to go to the spiritual leaders for just words of encouragement, you know, at this time, you know, for you, Kia. You know, I know you're strong. You know, I know you are, and I'm just going to go to the spiritual leaders for just some words of encouragement.
Man of God, Weathersby, would you take the word first?
Amen. You know, I was just listening and. And the thing that was just resonating in my spirit is something that God has been really manifesting to me as something that's of extreme importance for us as believers in Christ. I just kept hearing no greater love, greater love. And the reason why I say that is because that scripture, John 15:13, that speaks to that. Again, we know that what it's in reference to. And it's something that we have to understand that the Bible does not, God does not expect us to do what Christ did for us. He does not expect us to go to the cross and lay down our life. But no greater love does a man have than this one, than when he laid down his life for his friend. And to me, all that represents is that when I look beyond my own selfish desires and look beyond that, and see someone else's need, and then I perform a selfless act.
Yeah.
And by just doing that, what she did for you is I just saw no greater love, and it just reminded me of how our Lord and Savior, when he was laying down his life on the cross, he looked down upon his mother, and the Bible says that disciple whom he loved, and he made provisions for them both while he was dying. That's the greatest love that we can ever have, and it's the love that we should aspire to as believers in Christ, because how we attain it is by establishing a relationship with the Lord and a close personal relationship with him, because it's agape, it's unconditional.
Pastor Butler, would you like to give words of encouragement?
Just to right back off of our minister, Weathersby, I thank God for that love and the family. God, he makes no mistakes. And one thing that God has been dealing with me about, and I think I've mentioned it for the last couple of months, is sowing seeds of love. And not just talking it, living it, showing it amongst his people, showing love, for God so loved us that he gave. And in this hour, we're going to say that, you know, we're praying for you. We're going to be praying for your family. And the love, just continue to just show love. That love is so important. And in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, exercise the gifts of love, always. And it starts with our family, living close with our family, in the good times, in the bad times, no matter what. Brother, love us at all times.
Yes.
So we thank God. We bless God for you, and we will be lifting you up.
Yes.
And just continue to show love and tell you we love you, but showing it most of all.
Yes. Apostle Perez, you there?
Yes, ma'am. I'm here. Yes, ma'am.
You all ready? We get words of encouragement for the caller.
I make echo to what Minister Weathersby has said, and I know this is not a verse that particularly one likes when one is going through a certain situation. But the Bible says everything works together for good,
mm-hmm.
for those that love the Lord. That is, to those that have been called according to God's divine purpose. Now, we cannot misquote that verse lightly, because it does refer to people who have a relationship with God and who have a prayer life, if you read the context of the whole passage. And what I get an understanding is, no matter what, God will get the glory out of it. And what may seem death unto us can bring life unto others. No one can have a testimony unless they go through a test.
Yes.
And even through this time of hurt, pain, confusion, and why this, I was taken back. I got to be honest, I was taken a little bit back. I just lost my brother December 14 of the year 2012, just last year. And that's why I asked Minister Weathersby to take the word first, because it brought back memories, fresh, still vivid in my mind. I'm not Superman, I'm human. And my older brother died. He was only 49 years old, died of a heart attack. And that just happened a month and a half ago, you know, last year, in December. And I didn't quite understand it then. But I tell you, you know, one of the things I prayed for was, Lord, let this unity that I see here among the family and friends, let it not just be just here. Let it be a permanent thing. And I thank God that God has heard my prayer. We've kept in contact with family members that we haven't seen and talked in years. And so a good thing came out of it. You know, because, you know, life is short, and we've got to learn how to appreciate one another, how to love one another, pray one another, and giving echo to the Pastor Butler, what she said, love is key. Love one another. And even our prayers, we've got to stop being selfish. We've got to stop praying for one another, you know, praying more for one another, praying for our neighbors, you know, and I believe this is a season when we learn, because even Jesus taught the disciples how to pray. The disciples were hungry, and they said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And Jesus said, Our Father, meaning he established a precedent, a platform where he said, He's our Father. In other words, you ain't the only child.
Right.
This Father has many children. So it is setting a standard that our prayer must be geared not for selfish, you know, thing, but to be mindful of others. And the key here again is love. You know, I pray, woman of God, even as you go through that the Holy Spirit may bring comfort to you, your family, a spirit of togetherness, you know, and peace and understanding, and that God may bring clarity, and but above all, love and peace. In Jesus' name, that is my prayer.
Yes. Amen. Amen. I'm sorry, Pastor Butler.
It's something about that love. God really wants us to love to no end. And sometimes he will allow, as our Dr. Perez had said, he will allow these things to happen in our life. And it's to bring us back to the purpose, bring us back to the principle, bring us back to the initial plan that God had, you know, family. If you notice, the attacks are so great on family, relationships, and to bring division, to bring us apart. And God will allow, and he'll take a loved one out of our life to get our focus back, to bring our eyes back to him. He said in all things, give me thanks in all things. And it's hard, you know, when you lose a loved one. And so many times you don't understand. I mean, it was a domino effect in my family, a domino effect. Losing my stepdad and then losing my brothers back to back, three brothers back to back. And they were all in their 40s. So I know what, you know, I understand why God does what he does. And it took some lessons, these hard lessons, when he takes a loved one. None of them wasn't sick in their life, no sickness nowhere. But that love, to bring us back to love to no end, to get us back to loving one, I mean really loving, forgiving, and just letting go of everything, every hurt, everything that caused a separation and a division in the family, let it go. God is saying, let it go.
Yes.
Let it go, move on. And it's normally through death that the reuniting, the restoration, the coming back together. Something bad has to happen. It's sad, but it's true. Why does something bad have to happen for God to get our attention? We're hard-headed, stiff-necked, murmurers, and complainers. But we just, God's like, I'm calling you back to me. And he's like, whatever it takes. It's like when Habakkuk asked God, you know, Habakkuk, when he questioned God, because everything looked like it wasn't working out, so many things was going on. And God had to shake up this stuff. And he's shaking up this stuff. He is shaking up our comfort zones. He's shaking us out to bring us back to him, to bring us back to his original plan. So it's all working out for our good, though. It's all for purpose. And all things work together for our good. You're right about that. Everything.
Right.
Everything.
Right. What we're going to do at this time is we're going to do a prayer for those callers that were requesting prayer. Since Minister Weathersby did open up in prayer, I'm going to ask you know, one of the spiritual leaders if they wouldn't mind closing in prayer. But before we close in prayer, I just want to thank all the callers, all the listeners, the guests, Apostle Perez. Thank you also, Minister Weathersby, for opening up in prayer. Pastor Butler for calling in, and all the callers. You know, we do thank you, you know, for tuning in to GQ Palace Christian Sunday. You know, we are here at the same time next week from 7 to 9. I will not be in transit because I'm still driving at this time. So
wow.
For the whole show, yeah, the whole show I've been driving. Traffic is moving finally at this point. So hopefully I'll be home shortly. But we will definitely be on next week, Sunday, from 7 to 9. Does anyone want to say anything before we go into prayer?
Woman of God, Lavina.
Yes.
May I say something?
Sure.
I just want to bring clarity so we all be on the same page. And I do agree partially with Pastor Butler in the sense that, yes, someone can prophesy. If they're not been, you know, submitted on the church, or they've been out of the church or whatever. But it is advisable, again, it is advisable, that a person be submitted and accountable to somebody, to a minister, to a church, because that's how scriptures in the book of Acts, it states it. The Bible said they were all in one prayer, and the Holy Ghost said, not privately, but publicly, when something is of God, God will bring it publicly. If I am the pastor of the church, God will never oversight nor sidestep me as a leader to talk to somebody else, especially if I'm connected with God. When you look from the book of Exodus to the book of Deuteronomy, you will find an expression over and over and over again. It's called the law of repetition or the law of repercussion. Why? Because God wants us to place our undivided attention. It is important. And one expression that you will find, one of the expressions is, and God spoke unto Moses. And God said unto Moses. And God told Moses to say unto the people. God deals with one head, not a bunch of heads.
All right, sir.
There must be submitting. It is danger zone when you start accepting prophecies of individuals that have no covering. Yeah, it could be of God, but I wouldn't advise it. I would not advise it because, you know, it's not the norm. It's not the biblical standard. Everybody must be accountable to somebody. You've got to be submitted to somebody. It keeps you on the safe zone to not fall into fallacy and fall into extremes, you know, because some people are so deep, way deep, too deep, so heavily bound to earthly no good, you can't even talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
So it is good, and let me tell you something. If there's a man that believes in sign, wonders, and miracles, it's me. If there's a man that believes in the move of the Holy Spirit, it's me. I'm a Holy Ghost man preacher. But I'm an old-fashioned preacher in the sense when it comes to the Word of God, I don't change it and I don't wait for nobody.
All right.
I am submitted to a bishop. Even though I have plenty of churches under me, I am still submitted under a bishop. I am submitted under authority. That's the way. Somebody text me. When I'm not right, they correct me.
All right.
Okay? And it has to be that way because that's the way God has operated. That's why Jesus said, my Father. God has always worked throughout centuries, father and son relationship. My Father without in heaven. I can't do or say nothing unless my Father. I only do and say what I hear from my Father. Now, Jesus said it, unless we're better than Jesus, and I don't think that's the case. Jesus said it, I will not do nothing or say nothing unless I hear from my Father. I mean, and this is the way it should be. It keeps us safe because there's a lot of spooky stuff going on there, a lot of counterfeit revivals, a lot of counterfeit manifestation that is not of God, on blank, and it can bring confusion. So let us stay connected to our leader. And I'm going to finish with this. Your destiny and your future is locked in the loins of leadership. Your destiny and your future is locked in the Lord. It means if I'm going to get anything from God, I'm going to get it through my leader. And that's all I have to say on that matter. And I just wanted to bring clarity so we all be on the same page. Because, yeah, someone can prophesy, but we must be submitted under leadership and under the Word of God. We got to be accountable.
Can I piggyback off of him for 1 second? I just want to make sure that we are on the same page because, Sister Lavina, your question was, could you reiterate your question?
The question was, I gave the question of if someone was in church, they were in a church, they did have a title, but something happened at the church, so they stopped going to church. Is it okay for them to still prophesy over you?
That's what I thought you said.
Okay.
Okay.
Apostle Perez, would you mind closing in prayer for us this evening?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I will.
Thank you.
Father, we thank you for this grandiose opportunity. We thank you for the woman of God, my sister, Levine. Lavina, thank you, Lord, for even Minister Willis. Thank you for Pastor Butler. Thank you for all the callers. Lord, you heard their petitions because we are in your presence. We are in your presence. You said in your word, when two or three are gathered in your name, you shall be in the midst. And we've been invoking your name, quoting your word. Your word is life. and spirit. And we thank you for being in our midst, giving us understanding, giving us wisdom. And I'm asking you, Lord, for hitting everyone's need, whether it be healing, whether it be deliverance, whether it be salvation, whether it be encouragement. Lord, I send forth the word. The word, and I activate Isaiah 53 for healing. It says that by his stripes we already healed. I send the word of deliverance. It says, he whom the Son sets free, the Son of God, Jesus, whom he sets free is free indeed. I send forth that word for deliverance. Lord, I send the word of salvation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
Yes.
I pray that this may bring conviction to those, Father, and understanding. Father, grant peace at this moment. Somebody right now is without peace. I pray peace that surpasses all understanding. Colossians 3:18 says that let the peace of God rule heavy in our heart. Let it be our God. For you're not a God of confusion, but a God of peace. I pray for peace in every area, in every home. But above all, Lord, I activate your angels. According to Hebrews 1:12-13, the Bible says that angels are ministering spirits that minister according to those that are going to inherit heaven. Psalms 34:7 says, the angel of the Lord encamp up around those who fear you. Psalms 91:8-11 says that you will charge angel over us so our feet will not tread upon a rock. I'm asking, Lord, that you may activate angels on our behalf. But above all, we ask for a hedge of protection of the blood of Jesus applied unto us right now. We cancel and destroy every plan of the enemy against us and every listener right now. And I decree and declare in the name of Jesus Christ that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Oh, Father, I decree and declare that every tongue that rises up against us, you already condemned it in judgment. And peace is the inheritance of the righteous. This is your word, Father. This is your word. Isaiah 42:26 says, come, let's reason together. Remind me of my promises. 1 Peter 4:11 says, if anyone speak, let him speak according to the oracles, the word of God. But let everything be done for the glory of God in Christ Jesus. So therefore, I'm asking you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you may answer right now, dispatch angels, according to everybody's needs, right now, in Jesus' name. Lord, right now, we command every spirit of sickness, of infirmity, whether it be in the mind, whether it be in the spirit, and we come against the spirit of deception that has been released upon the land. Father, we ask that the spirit of discernment, Lord, in wisdom and understanding, Lord, may come to us in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for strengthening us, and we thank you, Lord, for supporting this program, and we pray all of it for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. We do thank you. We thank you, Apostle Perez, for joining us this evening on Spiritual Sunday. And we thank Minister Weathersby, Pastor Butler, all the callers, all the listeners. We thank you all. And we will look forward to speaking to all of you next week, Sunday, from 7 to 9. I'll always say tell a friend to tell a friend to tune into GQ Power Spiritual Sunday to give your testimony or just say what you're thankful for. Everyone have a blessed and safe week. And we'll talk to you next week. God bless
Amen.
You
God bless you too. I'm getting so sick and tired of all. Just got
I lay it off and the top it off the rinse do. So tell me what I gotta get.
Well, see, trials come to me.
You
storms won't last
long.
But how can I trust God in all this mess?
Well, see, that's the reason for the song. See, wherever you go, that's one thing you got to know. God is right there by your side. Thank you for calling. It's always good to hear from you.
Yeah, but
I gotta go now.
Wait a minute.
I have another call online too.
But I ain't through. See, I'm sick and tired of all these church folk talking about stuff ain't as bad as it seems. See, y'all don't feel my pain.
I don't have pain.
I don't say hi. You're on the cover of Time magazine.
See, but you're looking at now, and you don't know how I struggled and what I've been through.
Yeah, whatever.
Now you cross the line.
I'm just speaking my mind.
Okay, so let me speak mine too. I've had some mountains, I've seen some valleys, I've even had to cry sometimes. Back when I lost my mother.
Your mother?
My mother.
I'm sorry.
No, son, it's fine. Life is full of ups and downs, but God said the storm won't last long.
But how'd you make it through?
Boy, I thought you knew. It was his love that kept me strong. When you're smiling, though,
I feel so alone.
Although your heart is heavy, God said.
And I'm getting very sick and tired of all this. I just got laid off and to top it off the rinse do. So tell me, Bishop, what I gotta get.
Didn't I tell you trials come to me? And those old storms.
But how can I trust God in the midst of all this mess?
See, that's the reason for this song. Wherever you go, the sun you got to know. God still cares.
Thank you, Pastor.
Anytime.
I think I can make it now. Just tell me what I need to do.
Just pray this prayer with me. Say, Father,
Father,
forgive me.
Forgive me.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Please help me.
Please help me.
I love you.
I love you.
I need you.
I need you.
Hold me.
Hold me.
Jesus.
Jesus.
My heart.
My heart.
My soul.
My soul.
Please take me.
Take
control.
Control.
Right now.
Right now.
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 Yeah. Now.
When you feel so alone,
although your heart is heavy,
and even in the midst of all of you, and when you're sick and tired of all the rain, remember that the rain won't last always, and in Christ Jesus you got so much to gain.
You see your trials come to make it, and the storms won't last.
Remember my brother, my sister, it's only temporary.
See, that's the reason for this song.